Senate Judiciary be in order. Secretary, take the roll, please.
Senator Usher.
Here.
Senator Gross.
Excused.
Senator Heinbach.
Here.
Senator Emmerich.
Here.
Senator Weber.
Here.
Senator Manzella.
Here.
Senator Olson.
Here.
Senator Brown.
Here.
Senator Friedel.
Here.
Senator Kelker.
Here.
Senator Regeer.
Here. Committee, I handed out a map that has a bunch of blue spots on it, and there was no information on what that was. That came from the DOT, and that shows the place where they have the private CDL trainers around the state. So you can put that in your folder with that information from last meeting. Another thing I want to point out, committee, when we table a bill, it doesn't mean it's dead. It can always be brought back for reconsideration. So if you discard your file on the tabled bill, there might be information that you might need later if it's ever tried to bring off the table. With that, we have three bills we're going to hear today. Those of you that are in the chamber, if you have a cell phone, would you turn the sound off, please, so it doesn't disrupt the proceedings? If you're going to testify on a bill, there's a sign-up sheet by the door, and when you do testify, give us your name and spell your last name for us. With that, Senator Fitzpatrick Day in Senate Judiciary. We'll open the hearing on Senate Bill 134. Welcome to the committee, Senator.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Nice to be here. For the record, Steve Fitzpatrick, Senate District 10. I have a couple bills on injunctions today, so I'll start with the first one, Senate Bill 134. A couple of these bills come from experiences that I've had practicing law. I'll tell a story here just so you know the case has been resolved, so this legislation will not have any effect on that particular case, but it did highlight for me some problems that I think were going on in the court system with injunctions, and in my research I came to find that other people were also experiencing some of these difficulties as well. So I'll give you a little background. I was hired to represent an individual down in Bozeman. He had been sued by the neighbor for constructing a building in violation of the covenants, and what the neighbor did was they walked in and got a judge to enter a restraining order. And if you look in the code here, the restraining order is only good for 10 days, but apparently come to find out in some courts that 10-day rule is merely guidance. We're not following the 10-day rule, and in my case, and I've seen other cases, that restraining order is becoming a 70-day, a 60-day restraining order. We're not following the 10-day limit. So I get the restraining order entered against my client. I immediately file a motion to dissolve the restraining order because the law says 10 days. That just goes into a black hole. No ruling from the court. I eventually have to take him up to the Supreme Court. The Supreme Court doesn't want to rule on it either. They kick it back and say, we can rule on it faster, or you can get a hearing faster in the court, and we'll be able to resolve it. All during this time, it's in the middle of November, so you have an open, exposed building, live electrical lines in the building, water system, winter's coming, and we can't do anything to protect the property. I quite frankly thought it was outrageous. Almost insulting, I think, to have a court do this to a citizen of the state of Montana. So that's where this bill comes from. And I can tell you, as I researched it, this was not an isolated incident. There was another writ of supervisor control on the exact same issue. So as I'm writing the brief, I had a nice brief to copy as I prepared my briefing to the Supreme Court. So what this bill does very simply is it says 10 days is 10 days. After 10 days, you don't get to have these 60, 70, 100-day restraining orders. You're done after 10 days. If you look in Part 1, it expires. Then we go down into the extension language in Section 2. We've deleted out the like period language since that's a little ambiguous, and we simply say 10 days again. So you can be restrained under this bill for a grand total of 20 days. And within that 20 days, if you go to Section 3, then you have to have the hearing. And this is very important. When you've been restrained without notice, that means somebody walked into a courtroom, you did not have a chance to have a hearing, you didn't have a chance to come before a judge and do anything to argue your case. The judge simply said, you can't do what you're going to do, with no opportunity to be heard. What this does is it says you get to have that hearing in 20 days. You don't have to wait 100 days. You don't have to wait for a year. You get that hearing and you get it immediately. And then we have some language here about whether you can, if the parties want to extend. And then, of course, after the hearing, you have to get the ruling within 21 days as to whether you're going to be continued to be restrained or enjoined. Because that's the other part. You have the hearing, and then it disappears into a black hole. You know, in my case, I think we went another 8 months before we finally just got the case resolved. But there was no ruling on the preliminary injunction. There was no ruling at all. And, you know, and to do that to somebody without notice, without a proper amount of time to have the restraining order enjoined, I think it's just wrong. I mean, it's just so wrong on so many levels not to have a court decide something in a timely fashion. So that's where this bill comes from. I think it's about restoring some fairness and due process into the court system, and I hope you would support this bill.
Any proponents? Proponents in the room? Proponents? Ms. Gibney, I did not get a list of Zoom. Are there any Zoom today?
There are no Zoom testimonies
okay.
today.
Okay, that'll make it easier. Good. No proponents in the room? How about opponents? Any opponents in the room? Informational witnesses? Seeing none, questions from the committee? Senator Kelker.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Question for the sponsor.
Sure.
Mr. Chair, Senator, the injunction laws cover a lot of territory, I think. And what I'm wondering is if these changes would affect situations where there is an injunction because in a domestic violence situation and a woman perhaps has been injured and they do an injunction to protect her and they don't go to the person who was beating up on her, you know, and that's proved to be helpful in protecting that person. Would it change the situation in a violence issue?
Mr. Chairman, Senator Kelker, this shouldn't have any effect on the ability of a person to go get an injunction for the type of situation you're describing here. What this simply says is that if the court's going to grant one of these restraining orders, it has to work on the issue and get it resolved immediately. We can't ignore plain language here that says 10 days. You know, the statute's pretty clear. Restraining order is only good for 10 days. If the court's not going to work on it in a timely fashion, it just clarifies that it's supposed to go away. And I think that's what the law is intended to do, but it seems like it's being ignored. Huh?
Follow up, please.
Go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, Senator. Is it a problem of the courts being backed up that makes it difficult to get these timelines working in the way they should?
Mr. Chairman, Senator Kelker, I can't tell you why judges are doing what they're doing. I mean, I personally think if you have the job, you should want to do the job and do things in a timely fashion. If you're too busy, you know, I mean, there's some judges that seem to get things done on time and others that don't, even in the same jurisdiction. So I can't answer why some people are fast and some people are slow.
Thank you.
Senator Olson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I think I'll try to ask a similar question. My question was also, because I agree that timelines are good for litigants, but I am concerned that we have heard that we have overwhelming number of cases in our court system and that we're shorthanded on our judges. And so I'm wondering if we're if you think we're properly funding for this kind of timeline.
Mr. Chairman, Senator Olson, I can't answer that question. Like I said, I mean, I've seen jurisdictions where, you know, I'm in the same division, the same district court. You'll have one judge who is timely and another who is not. So, I can't answer that. I mean, but it doesn't matter. You know, the rule here is 10 days. Just because you're busy, I don't think that's an excuse to ignore plain language in the law.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Senator, I have a couple of questions for you. Am I reading this right, that it really could get strung out to 41 days? The original 10, another 10, and then the last part within 21 days. Okay.
Mr. Chairman, that's correct. And, you know, you have to be fair here. I mean, you're going to have potentially 20 days, but, you know, the judge is going to need time to write an order or at least
sure.
get something out and think about what he heard at the hearing. So, I mean, I think it's a little unreasonable to expect an immediate result after the hearing. I think, you know, it's fair to give a little bit more time, but I do think we do need to have something a little bit more prompt than
okay.
years.
You mentioned at the beginning it appears that courts are ignoring the law. What makes you think they're not going to ignore this? Or did I not hear you correctly?
Well, Mr. Chairman, I think the language makes it self-enforcing, right? I mean, it says it's not enforceable. So, you know, if you've got an order and it's not enforceable after 10 days, I don't think there's any grounds for holding somebody up.
Okay. Last page, line 8, the parties stipulate. Parties, could that ever be more than two?
Mr. Chairman, yes, that would be correct. You know, you could have a situation where you've got, you know, multiple defendants, multiple plaintiffs. So,
okay.
Yeah.
Makes sense. Any other questions? Senator Usher.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Senator Fitzpatrick, I guess I heard rumor that there's an injunction that's been out there for several years. Is that, do you know anything about that, or is that true, or?
Mr. Chairman, Senator Usher, I believe on one of the abortion bills that we passed many years ago, I think there's
parental notification.
Yeah, there's like an 8 or 10 year injunction sitting out there that hasn't been resolved. So,
follow up.
It is happening.
Go ahead.
Oh, sorry. Thank you, Mr. Chair, Senator Fitzpatrick. You talked about not enforceable. I mean, obviously, we're judiciary, so we're used to seeing penalties. I guess, is there any way, or you don't have anything in here to keep them accountable to stay within the law? I mean, I understand that, I mean, everybody else is held accountable. Why can't we hold them accountable here, that maybe it moves to a different court, or there's some penalty, or?
Mr. Chairman, Senator Usher, I didn't want to go into penalties. I think the best solution is just simply to have these orders expire, you know, and then if there's an issue, then people can take it up to the Supreme Court. But I think that goes into a separate matter that would be beyond the scope of this bill. Like I said, you know, there may be various reasons why these orders are coming in late or they're not doing on time. You know, I'm not interested in penalizing judges. I think ultimately what happens is that the people just want to have relief. It's not about getting even. You just want to get on with your life.
Any other questions? Seeing none, Senator, you may close on your bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I close.
Okay, this ends the hearing on Senate Bill 134. Next, we'll open the hearing on Senate Bill 135. Senator, welcome to the committee.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Steve Fitzpatrick, Senate District 10. The next bill I have for you is Senate Bill 135, and this one makes it clear here on the first page that a court may not enter an injunction against the Secretary of State from issuing an administrative rule before the administrative rule is issued. Now, let me give you a little background. I think most people can see what this is from. In the last legislature, we passed a law that directed the Secretary of State to enter an administrative rule prohibiting ballot harvesting. That was immediately sued upon, even though there was no administrative rule. There was no law to enjoin. So the court in Billings then decided that they were going to enjoin this non-existent law, this non-existent administrative rule. And I was candidly a little surprised by that. I actually thought you had to have a law on the books, on a piece of paper, before you could have an injunction entered against it. So that's what this says, is that there actually has to be an administrative rule before you can be enjoined from enforcing it. There is no administrative rule on the ballot harvesting. I don't know why we're enjoining non-existent things. So this is what this bill attempts to correct, and of course we've made it retroactive to January. So last time I checked, it was judicial review, not review of a law, not judicial guessing or judicial speculation. So that's what this bill does. It says you actually have to have a law on the books. Thank you.
Any proponents? Proponents in the room, 135. Proponents? How about opponents? Any opponents? Informational witnesses? Seeing none, questions from the committee? Senator Olson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Senator Fitzpatrick, my question goes to that general rule that we kind of subscribe to, that laws shall only have a prospective effect and must not be applied retroactively in such as a way as to apply to pending disputes and cases. This has been around, you know, it's in, you know, Latin. So I'm just curious why it needs to be retroactive, and if you don't feel like this goes against this general rule and might actually also be unconstitutional.
Mr. Chairman, Senator Olson, this is not unconstitutional. We pass laws in this body all the time that allow to have retroactive effects. I think we probably all, including me and you, voted for a bill several years ago that basically opened up all the claims arising from the Miles City sexual assault dispute. So we do this from time to time. You probably voted for it. I did too as well. So I think it's quite proper for the judicial or the legislative branch to enact laws that have retroactive effect and may affect a lawsuit.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Any other questions? Senator Kelker.
Chair, Senator, again, would you tell me what areas of law or areas of administrative rules, does this cover everything and every agent of government?
Mr. Chair, Senator Kelker, this one is specific to the Secretary of State on this particular issue. So, to the extent there would be other administrative rules issued by the Secretary of State, it would apply to the Secretary of State. That's how it's written. It doesn't apply to every other agency at this point.
Thank you.
Senator Usher.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Senator Fitzpatrick. There was a ruling, I believe it was last summer, making it unconstitutional that voting on Supreme Court justices by district was unconstitutional, but that had not passed. It was supposed to be a ballot initiative or a ballot referendum. And they ruled on it, assuming that it was going to pass. Would this cover that too or not?
Mr. Chair, Senator Usher, no, this would not apply to that situation. This applies to a rule issued by the Secretary of State that hasn't been written yet.
Okay, thank you.
Any other questions? Seeing none, Senator, you may close on your bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I close on this one.
This ends the hearing for Senate Bill 135. Next, we'll open the hearing on Senate Bill 136. Senator, welcome to the committee.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. The final bill, again, for the record, Steve Fitzpatrick, Senate District 10. The final bill I have for you is Senate Bill 136. This goes back to the first bill where we had a preliminary injunction issued on a temporarily completed building. as I thought about it, I thought, wow, this is really bad if you're going to have restraining orders entered against people in the middle of construction, and you can't, obviously you want to stop the construction, that's fine until things get resolved, but I think people in the middle of construction ought to be able to protect their property, you know, take appropriate steps to cover things up or ensure that, you know, you're not going to have a leaking pipe or some kind of danger or hazard out there. So what this does is it simply clarifies in the law that if you are doing construction, you're in the middle of a progress, you get to protect the work from further damage, and that you get to take steps to protect the property. We don't need to have construction sites with hazards on them, open trenches, debris laying around. We want to make sure that the area is safe while you are being enjoined, that nobody is going to get hurt, and that the property is not going to be destroyed or damaged. So I think that's common sense. I think it's a fair thing. It's not moving it one way or the other. It's leaving everything in place, but in a safe, protected manner. So that's the idea here with this bill.
Are there any proponents in the room for Senate Bill 136? Proponents? Opponents? Any opponents? Informational witnesses? Seeing none, questions from the committee? Boy, you really let him off easy. Questions? None? Okay. Senator, you may close on your bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Always great to be here in judiciary. Thank you for your time.
This ends the hearing on Senate Bill 136.
Can we ask if there's any amendments coming, any those up?
Senator Fitzpatrick, do you know of any amendments on any of these bills? Okay, thank you.
Do you want to put one on there? Do you want to put one
on? No, I'm going to propose that we do the EA on all three of them since we have no opponents or proponents today.
Okay, good. Committee, we'll do some executive action, but let's take a break and come back at, would 10 o'clock be too late? Come straight 10 o'clock? Okay. We'll be in recess till 10 o'clock.
Good.
Good. Committee, let's be in order, please. Executive action, we'll see what kind of bills we can get through here. We'll start with Senate Bill 11. Senator Usher is still working on it, and I'd like for him to give us an update on what's going on there. Senator?
Mr. Chair and committee members, we're working with some stakeholders. We got a couple more meetings. As I said, there's an amendment coming to try and work out some of the details to make sure that everybody is involved in the process, including the data officer and those that we're trying to get to volunteer to be in the pilot. So it's going to take us another meeting or two.
Okay. Any questions for Senator Usher on that? Okay.
Mr. Chair, I move to table Senate Bill 92.
Okay, we have a motion to table Senate Bill 92. I'll give you a moment to pull that folder out so you know what we're voting on. Senate Bill 92 was by Senator Emmerich, and it eliminated jail penalties for driving while license is suspended or revoked. It is a non-debatable motion. Does anyone have a question about the process? Okay. We will do a roll call vote on tabling Senate Bill 92.
Senator Usher?
Yes.
Senator Gross?
Yes, by proxy.
Senator Heinbach?
Yes.
Senator Emmerich?
Yes.
Senator Weber?
Yes.
Senator Manzella?
Yes.
Senator Olson?
No.
Senator Brown?
Yes.
Senator Friedel?
Yes.
Senator Kelker?
No.
Senator Regeer?
Yes.
Nine vote yes, two vote no.
Senate Bill 92 has been tabled, and again, committee, tabled bills can be asked for reconsideration, so you might want to hang on to your folder. Next, anybody working on amendments yet for Senate Bill 13? There are some amendments. I just wonder if anybody's working on amendments yet. Okay. Mr. Vice Chair.
Mr. Chair, I'd like to move Senate Bill 13 due pass.
Okay. Motion is due pass Senate Bill 13. Ms. Burkhart, how many amendments?
I have two amendments, one from you and one from Senator Friedel.
Okay. And we'll get those passed out.
13.
Thank you. committee anyone not get two amendments to Senate Bill 13? Not get them? Okay. Let's start with the First Amendment. I will move SB 0013.001.001 amendment. Committee, if you go to page 2, second page of the amendment, but it has a page 7 at the bottom, and line 11, we're adding oral fluid. This administration of tests, it starts off in this section, got to have a licensed physician, registered nurse, or other qualified person, but the last part, this limitation does not apply to sampling of breath or oral fluid, so you don't have to be a medical professional for that. We're just adding that oral fluid that House Bill 702 had in it last session and didn't get put in the correct part. Questions on that amendment? Okay, let's try a voice vote. Amendment 001 for Senate Bill 13. All in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed, nay.
Senator Gross votes aye by proxy.
Okay, Senator Friedel, would you care to move your amendment?
Thank you, Chairman. I would like to make a motion to amend Senate Bill 13 with the amendment of Senate Bill 0013.001.002.
You want to explain it to us, Senator?
Yes, Mr. Chairman. Essentially, what I'm doing is I'm putting the word shall in to make sure that the judges and everybody understands specifically that they shall do this and doesn't leave it up for interpretation for them. And that's how you make judges and people, law enforcement, do things. You tell them shall. It doesn't leave any gray area. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Senator, I don't see where
it's on page 2, line 18. On my draft, I apologize.
Okay.
The drafter said that it'd be better to be put it there where they put it as opposed to where I asked for it to be put. And so I agree with the drafters. It's a better language change.
But you're not changing shall, though. That stays the same.
They're moving require the person down to line A, and that basically takes everything under that particular line item and makes it shall at that point.
Yep. Okay.
Cleaner language. I apologize, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. Questions, comments on Amendment 002? Okay, let's try a voice vote. All in favor of Amendment 002 to Senate Bill 13, say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed, nay. Passed. Go ahead.
Excuse me.
Go ahead.
Senator Gross votes aye by proxy.
Very good. Passed unanimously. Twice amended.
Mr. Chair, I move Senate Bill 13 as amended twice. Do pass.
Okay, questions on Senate Bill 13 amended twice. Any questions?
Question.
Okay, let's try a voice vote on this. All in favor of Senate Bill 13 as amended twice, say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed, nay.
Senator Gross votes aye by proxy.
Okay, it passed unanimously. Okay, next. Senate Bill 89. Is anyone still working on amendments on Senate Bill 89? Senator Usher?
Mr. Chair, would it be appropriate if I asked Julianne to do an amendment to have this come out of marijuana, but have that ready for when it goes to the House side, since appropriations should be over there? And I'll have somebody carry it over there.
Mr. Chairman, Senator Usher, yes, I can switch it up so it's for House Judiciary. Is that what you meant?
Correct.
Okay, you bet.
Thank you.
Senator Olson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I have an amendment for this bill. Is that ready? Okay. And then my understanding was that Senator, the sponsor of the bill, had an amendment coming that addressed a couple of sections. And is his amendment ready?
Ms. Burkhardt?
Mr. Chairman, Senator Olson, was that Senator Lynch's amendment?
Yes.
I do not. I haven't been requested to draft one for Senator Lynch.
Mr. Chair, I'm ready with my amendment, but I do believe that Senator Lynch's amendments were coming with support from the council.
Senator, why don't you talk with Senator Lynch? We're going to wait anyway for Senator Usher's amendment. So, yeah.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Put it back in your folder. We'll deal with it another day. Next, Senate Bill 94 was by Senator Usher, dealing with recovery residences. Anybody working on an amendment on that bill yet? Senator Usher?
Mr. Chair, I'm still working on an amendment. I believe actually the one amendment I know of is already done, but because this was from Criminal Justice Oversight Council, I've sent a copy of that out to all the members to make sure that it's good with everybody.
Okay. Put 94 back in your file. Next, Senate Bill 95. This was by Senator Usher, and it revised sentencing laws for theft as well as some other theft-related issues. Anyone still working on an amendment on Senate Bill 95? Senator Usher?
Mr. Chair, I just wanted to ask Julianne to confirm. I know Senator Olson's amendment is ready, and is the insurance fraud from the auditor's office is ready also. So we have two that I know of.
Okay. Anyone else working on an amendment? We have two amendments. Okay, good. Mr. Vice Chair?
Mr. Chair, I move Senate Bill 95 do pass.
Okay, and you should be getting two amendments. We'll get those passed out.
Hope it all goes into recycling.
So O1's mine and O2 is Olson. Mm-hmm. O1's mine, O2 is Olson.
Right. Committee, you should have received two amendments. Anyone not receive two amendments to Senate Bill 95? Okay. Senator Usher, since yours has the one by it, we'll start with you.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I move Amendment SB 0095.001.001 to pass.
Would you enlighten us as to what it does?
Yes, sir. Page 12, it removes lines 24, 27, and then thereafter it changes some numerical since we took that out. And basically, at the request of the auditor's office, they cited to us where they have insurance fraud in another section of the law. So this would make it not only confusing, but unneeded and unnecessary.
Okay. Questions, comments on Amendment 001? Okay, let's try a voice vote. All in favor of Amendment 001 to Senate Bill 95, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay.
Senator Gross votes aye by proxy.
Okay, amendment passed unanimously. You want to move the bill as amended once?
Mr. Chair, I move Senate Bill 95 as amended, do pass.
Okay. Senator Olson,
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Your amendment.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I move to amend Senate Bill 95 with the amendment SB 0095.001.002.
And would you enlighten the committee as to what it does?
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. I would like to put back in a part of the law that was passed during the reforms, which is on page 14, lines 18 through 20. And this is the presumption that when there's a first offense, that the court will give a deferred imposition of sentence. Now, this means it's only a presumption for these first-time offenders. When the theft is under $100, the court can still impose a sentence and restitution and all of that. But this way, because most of these people will be unrepresented, this would always happen when there's representation. And so unrepresented people really need to have the law not on their side, because this is really just putting into law what is the normal practice so that unrepresented people receive the benefit of it as well. There was no testimony that this has been a problem, and I do think that this was just kind of thrown in there, and I would like us to put it back. Thank you.
Questions, comments on Amendment 002? Senator Manzella.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I appreciate the intent of Senator Olson, but I think that was removed for a reason, and I think we should be consistently on the same message, and that message is theft is wrong and unacceptable in our state under any circumstances. So I'm going to oppose the amendment, Mr. Chair.
Senator Usher, this bill goes back to pre-2017 statute, correct?
Yes, Mr. Chair.
Okay. I don't think what Senator Olson was talking about was really a big problem pre-2017. So, I will resist this amendment as well. Any other questions, comments? Senator Brown?
Kind of a question, I guess, actually. With the word in there as qualify for, does that mean they automatically receive that? Just because I'm qualified to do something doesn't mean I automatically get to. I mean, and okay. That might be for our legal help here to give me an answer.
Okay. Senator Olson?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Senator Brown, when something in law is presumed to qualify, it means that when somebody steals a sandwich at a store and they've been arrested for theft, that the judge will first ask, is this a first offense? Have they been convicted of anything in the last 5 years? And they will start with that question, and they will presume that the person is entitled to qualify for the discussion about whether or not they should defer the imposition of sentence. You know, when we were children, the courts did that all the time for us. You know, we are now really hard on crime, and I'm not saying that theft is ever good, but this is a way of having that question asked. Then the next question is, okay, they qualify for a deferred imposition of sentence, but is there reasons not to give it? And the court can make those decisions on any reasons. The prosecutor can raise those reasons. And so this is not automatic. And I apologize if that was too long of an answer, but it is not automatic.
Senator Usher.
I don't disagree with the discussion, but I guess I believe that everybody in the system already has the discretion to do this. And so I think this is an unnecessary line in this amendment, or a couple lines, and code clutter would be a good word.
Any other comments? Senator Friedel?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. It's actually a statement, comment to seatmate. With all due respect, when we were kids, this was the law. So I would believe that at the discretion of the judge has been happening. When I was a kid, I did something stupid like this, and they did hit me on the wrist, and I did community service. So I have to disagree with the fact that this language wasn't in here when I did that back in the early 90s. So I would assume that the same thing will go since we changed it in 2017. So I'm a resistant on this as well. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Anyone else? Okay, we'll do a roll call vote on Amendment 002 to Senate Bill 95.
Senator Usher?
No.
Senator Gross?
Yes, by proxy.
Senator Heimbach?
No.
Senator Emmerich?
No.
Senator Weber?
Yes.
Senator Manzella?
No.
Senator Olson?
Yes.
Senator Brown?
No.
Senator Friedel?
No.
Senator Kelker?
Yes.
Senator Regeer?
No.
4 vote yes, 7 vote no.
Okay, Amendment 002 has failed. We're back on the motion of Senate Bill 95, amended once. Questions, comments? Okay, we'll do a roll call vote on Senate Bill 95, amended once.
Senator Usher?
Yes.
Senator Gross?
No, by proxy.
Senator Heimbach?
Yes.
Senator Emmerich?
Yes.
Senator Weber?
No.
Senator Manzella?
Yes.
Senator Olson?
No.
Senator Brown?
Yes.
Senator Friedel?
Yes.
Senator Kelker?
Yes.
Senator Regeer?
Yes.
8 vote yes, 3 vote no.
Senate Bill 95, amended once, has passed. Next, let's take a look at Senate Bill 96. This was by Senator Usher and dealt with definition of persistent felony offender. Anyone still working on an amendment? Still working? Seeing none, Senator Usher, would you move the bill?
Mr. Chair, I move Senate Bill 96 do pass.
Ms. Burkhart, any amendments?
No, Mr. Chairman.
Okay. No amendments. Committee, questions, comments on Senate Bill 96? Senator Olson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I guess I would like to just quote the opponents who reminded us that this kind of statute doesn't make our society safer. It costs a lot of money, and we should be really addressing the repeat offenders' underlying issues rather than punishing them further. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Senator Manzella.
No.
Oh, Senator Usher.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, I just wanted to rebut what the senator just said, that it costs a lot of money when the fiscal note says zero.
Okay. Anyone else? Okay, we'll do a roll call vote on Senate Bill 96.
Senator Usher?
Yes.
Senator Gross?
No, by proxy.
Senator Heimbach?
Yes.
Senator Emmerich?
Yes.
Senator Wepper?
Yes.
Senator Manzella?
Yes.
Senator Olson?
No.
Senator Brown?
Yes.
Senator Friedel?
Yes.
Senator Kelker?
Yes.
Senator Regeer?
Yes.
9 vote yes, 2 vote no.
Senate Bill 96 has passed. Next, Senate Joint Resolution 3. Is anyone still working on an amendment? Still working on amendment? Okay. Senator Olson, still working on it?
Or? Yes, I believe it's not ready. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Okay. We'll put that back for another day. A comment about the amendments and the way they're constructed. I really appreciate that red part. It helps you see exactly what's there. And I appreciate not getting the whole bill, just the pages related to the amendment. Any comments about that for staff?
Mr. Chairman, as another chairman, I've been using it in my committee, and it's been fantastic. Yeah. It cuts down on paper, and it gets to the point where we need to hit it.
Yeah, it's good. So some positive feedback. We'll talk about the computer program another day. Okay.
Are we going to do the other two?
What other two? That we heard today? No, Emmerich. Yeah, he wanted to look at all of them. Yeah. Senator Emmerich, you still wanted to look at all three today that Senator Fitzpatrick presented? Is that correct? Or just one? You had mentioned possibly working on amendments.
The only one that I'm looking to amend is 134.
Okay. So the other two you weren't working on?
Correct.
Anyone opposed to pulling out, what was it, 135 and 136? Anyone opposed? Okay. Let's pull them out.
I apologize, Mr. Chair. I've already requested an amendment to be drafted for 135.
135? Okay. Let's pull out 136 and look at it. Senate Bill 136, we heard this morning by Senator Fitzpatrick, and this was about providing safety in a construction site, and I understand at least being able to secure and protect the structure as well. Anyone uncomfortable with doing executive action now on that? Okay. Mr. Vice Chair, would you move the bill, please?
Mr. Chair, I move Senate Bill 136 do pass.
Questions, comments, 136? Okay, we'll do a voice vote. All in favor, say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed, nay.
Senator Gross votes aye by proxy.
Okay, Senate Bill 136 passed unanimously. Committee, I think we have two bills tomorrow. And unless anyone has anything to say, Senator Manzella.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Just a reminder that the Department of Transportation is offering us lunch tomorrow. They're calling it a lunch and learning opportunity to address our questions concerning the bill of mine that you heard yesterday. Thank you.
And where is that?
Here.
Here
in this room.
In the chambers. Okay. Anyone else? Senator Heimbaugh?
Mr. Chair, they're not trying to buy our vote, are they?
It depends upon what the lunch is, right? Yeah. Okay. Anyone else? Okay. We'll see you on the floor at 1. We are adjourned.
That's right. It's Jimmy John's new Escalade.
Okay.
So this is what the concerns that Native American Development Corporation had with the recovery.
Okay.
I will sort of answer.